So with that, let's dive into this thing. You guys want to open the report? Start on page 3. So Senate Bill 219. You've got a brand new chapter 59 of the Texas Business and Commerce Code. It's titled Responsibility for Defects in Plans and Specifications. And this generally relates to the responsibility of contractors, architects, and engineers in connection with defects in construction plans. It applies to a contract for the construction or repair of improvement for real property, but excludes, quote, critical infrastructure facilities. And that term, critical infrastructure facilities, includes a number of big ticket items, oil wells, oil tanks, oil pipelines, commercial airports, railway yards, kinds of things where the owner contracting might have their own engineering expertise. This also excludes design build documents where a contractor is responsible for their portion of the document to allege to have been defective. This chapter cannot be waived, and a purported waiver of the chapter is void. Section 59.051 of this chapter provides that a contractor is not responsible for the consequences of design defects and may not warrant the accuracy or suitability of plans provided to the contractor by a person other than the contractor's agents, suppliers, et cetera. But to get an exclusion from liability, the contractor must disclose defects that the contractor discovers or that, quote, reasonably should have been discovered by the contractor and the ordinary diligence before or during construction. There's a lot of fun words there for our litigators to parse out in the next few years. From what I can tell, this one is intended to help make a contractor sort of an ally to a homeowner. Homeowners aren't necessarily going to be aware of defects that their selected architect or engineer came up with. And the contractor, as they're going through it, if something just doesn't make sense, they've got to point that out during the during the project. They can't just follow through with something that they believe to be defective or reasonably should believe is defective. This also adds a new section 130.0021 to the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, requiring that a contract for architectural or engineering services must be performed with professional skill and care ordinarily provided by a competent architect or engineer. Contracts with other provisions are void and this section is applied. This effectively legislates that the architectural engineering contract should be formed by, you guessed it, professional. I guess there's been language out there where architects are trying to say, maybe I'm an architect, but I'm not going to be held to this certain standard. So I think this is a win for homeowners and consumers. It makes a lot of sense in terms of providing protection since they're not going to be in a position to negotiate these contracts. And this one took effect September 1st, 2021. As most of these bills did. I'm going to turn now to page 4. It says Senate Bill 398. This prevents HOAs from restricting a homeowner from getting solar panels installed on their house. In a previous session, there had been a bill that prohibited property owners associations with an HOA from restricting an owner to put solar panels on their house. This appears to bring this regulation in line with what an HOA is forbidden to do. This bill also adds a new chapter 113 to the Business and Commerce Code regarding both sales and leases of distributed renewable generation resources. For the purpose of providing context on that, solar panels, solar panels has been pretty common in California and Arizona, where a homeowner won't actually buy the solar panels being installed on their roof. They'll lease them from a company like Tesla. We'll sign a 20-year lease for the panels, and the panels will actually remain the property of that company. This new chapter 113 means a number of disclosures are pretty similar to what we see in California and Arizona. So if you want more in depth on that, please sure to look at the bill closer. Before, what I can gather here is that the intent is to give solar lessors a little bit more comfort operating in Texas, that our regulatory environment is similar to Arizona and California. Most folks from out of states are aware that we have peculiar homestead laws, and that can scare some people off. So this kind of keeps the environment similar. One friends and neighbor type question that we might start getting is a provision in this bill that allows certain persons with solar panels to sell the power back onto the grid in some circumstances. And there's really a bunch of technical requirements to be able to do that. I would just suggest when we start getting these questions in the next few years, saying, hey, I want to get solar panels on my house. Can I sell the power back onto the grid? This bill will give us some answers. You should definitely check it out. It appears to be pretty limited and targeted. So the answer to those questions are probably going to be no, the clients in the city. But that's just something that we're going to have to see how it takes effect over the next few years.